Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Thursday means it is time for Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Our author, Jerry Dale, who has gone through the highs of the music industry, lows of the adult entertainment world, and ended up finding redemption in the arms of God. The book is Music, Porn, and Jesus, A Journey to Redemption. I really appreciate you being with us this morning, and just kick off asking, what motivated you to write this book?
Well, it was a couple of things. One of the things was that I didn't want to forget some of the experiences I had been through, especially in the music industry, because it was during the 90s. And to me, the 90s is one of the greatest eras of music. And so I didn't want to forget some things that I had been through. So there was that. And then, but as I got my relationship got closer with God, it was, let me write this to show those that are going through either one of those industries that you're not too far gone, that if God will save me, he will save you too.
You know, you mentioned the 90s, and I know some of the the folks in the music industry in particular you worked with, Will Smith and Snoop Dogg, these are wildly successful individuals and have had extreme longevity. And so often on the outside, people see some of these people rise to fame, they go off the rails, and it just seems as if you have access to so many things, particularly if things are going well for you, and access to people who want to please you and want to win favor with you. So they're willing to do anything. And that just seems to, that so many new roads of potential derailment for you. And I know some of what you talk about is, or write about, is if you don't have some sort of real, I guess, anchored purpose in life, this can be a real dangerous area for a person, correct?
Oh, I would agree. And it's very dangerous because, I mean, exactly what you just said, like you laid it right out. That's what happens. We get in this thing with these artists, and we're with them because we're with them daily. Like whenever they were in my market, I'm with them the entire time. So I have five states. So when they come to, you know, Dallas, we do Dallas, Houston, Oklahoma City, New Orleans. So we'll go through these markets and you're with them and you end up becoming friends with them and you get to know them. And yes, it's easy when they ask for something, it's easy to, be able to go get it for them or try to make it happen for them or try to, you know, to try to please them.
Is the, well, let's talk the music industry. And is that something that you wanted to get involved in your entire life? Was that something you strove to do, or just the entertainment industry, I suppose, in general? Or did you happen to fall into it? What was that? How did that happen?
No, I always wanted to be in music. I played a saxophone when I was younger. I DJed at clubs. I was a party promoter when I went to college. So I always wanted to be in the business. And I actually saw a commercial in the 90s on MTV called Want to Be in the Music Business. Mm. And so it was for the Art Institute of Dallas music and video business program. And so I left Weatherford, Oklahoma, and moved to Dallas to be in that program. And then while I was in that program, opportunities came from being at clubs, being at actually a Budweiser Superfest. I don't know if they came to Springfield, but a Budweiser Superfest came, and I found a way. I talked my way in, found a way to get backstage. Long story short, I did an interview with Belle Biv DeVoe about Michael Bivins being sued by Boyz II Men at the time. It was a local video show, taped my interview, aired my interview. Someone saw it, told me about it. Me, I was 19, 20 at the time. So I went to go over there and try to sue him for, you know, using me without any release. Mm-hmm. They ended up giving me a internship, gave me a couple of grand. And I started picking up videos from the record labels. All the record labels had an office in Dallas. And so I started picking up videos for the video show. And I met a guy at MCA Records, Jeff Thomas, and he took me under his wing, and he started showing me how to work records. on a street level, doing street promotions.
We're talking with our author of the week, Jerry Dale, a.k.a. JD. The book is Music, Porn, and Jesus, A Journey to Redemption. The adult entertainment world, how did that happen? What was that evolution?
Well, it's interesting because it was kind of a progression. So when I started working with MCA, I was also doing some independent stuff, and I had started out with Luke Tulai Crew, was a independent. And so I had an independent label rep had reached out to me about working that. So I was working with Luke also. So I was doing both of these at the same time. But and that was in the early 90s. But essentially, when I was at Sony, I left MCA as an independent contractor, went to Sony as an employee. And then when I left Sony, I went back to MCA as an employee, and then MCA got bought by Geffen. And when they bought Geffen, they ended up letting half of each staff go. I was part of the team that got let go. I had a buddy who was doing shows. He was promoting shows. And so I had done some when I was in college. So we got in and we did a couple of Betsy Johnson fashion shows. And then he had an idea to do the Adult Entertainment Awards, which is kind of like the ABNs, but we were doing them in Dallas, right? And so we did them in Dallas, but we did them for the local clubs. We did them for the strip clubs. So it's like best cuisine, best dancer, you know, those type of awards. Well, somebody wanted to buy it. I didn't want to sell. I didn't have anything else going on. So I bought my partner out and I did the awards myself in 02 and 03. And that led me into that industry. It ended up being a progression from there.
Was it so incremental that you, I guess sometimes somebody gets into an industry that maybe they never thought of, be it for moral reasons or ethical reasons, and it's like they're confronted with this big decision that is a leap. It's a real change. And other times it's so incremental, you're just there before you know it. Was it one of those two over the other for you?
It was more incremental. Yeah. I mean, it again, that's what I was saying, like with working for Luke, that was like an introduction to it, because, you know, Luke has music and then his stage, his performances involve girls in them. And so it's, you know, his performances, I don't know if you remember hearing anything back in the 90s, but they were wild back then,
yeah.
You know? And so it was that. And then as I was coming along, when the artists would come to town, right, they would need stuff. So I became that guy. I became the middleman. I write about this in the book as well, because my superpowers was that I could get them anything they needed after hours. Because a lot of times anybody can get it during hours, but after hours, you know, when the bars are closed and all of that. So it was incremental. Before I knew it, I was just there.
At some point, something occurred, I guess, whether it was just internally, externally, that moment when you knew or felt, gosh, I got to have a change here. Did you know that it was a God-centered change? Was it a moment? Was it a slow wake-up call? What was that?
It was over time. Yeah, I grew up in the church. When I was young, my mom took me to church. And so she's a Christian, but over time there was always a pull that would come back where you could see in my life, like, I talk about the Oklahoma City bombing. When it happened, I happened to be coming off the road from working for Luke, and I was downtown. And when it happened, I felt like somebody was kicking in my door. Cause at that time I was still smoking pot. And so I thought somebody was kicking in the door. I thought the police was kicking in the door. And it was one of those times where it scared me. Mm. And then you look on TV and you see what was, you know, we finally saw what was going on. But I told myself then when I got home, like, I'm gonna quit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out of this business, you know? So there's different little things throughout my life that happened like that. So, but then I would tell you that, in 2021, I had a quadruple bypass and I was 50. I turned 50. And so when I had that, I went into it as, you know what, if this is it, this is it. Because, you know, surgery, you never had one, so I didn't know if I was going to come out of it or not. But when I came out, I was grateful. And that's when I would tell you that I was all in, and I was God, thank you. And whatever time you give me left, I will do it for you. Because I kept hearing, ironically, I kept hearing this song, I Did It My Way by Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And it wasn't playing in the hospital. It was playing in my head. I kept hearing that, and so that's when I was like, you know what? I did. I had a good 50 years. Most people would be happy with that. I had a good 50. I'm okay with that. So whatever time you give me left, I'll spend it doing ministry.
Our authors, Jerry Dale, the book "Music, Porn, and Jesus: A Journey to Redemption." You know, that awakening, if you will, the answer of the knock at the door, depending on where one is in life, it can be a change that requires a complete change in lifestyle. I think some people, when they have that moment, that realization, they live a lifestyle that is relatively conducive with it, but then others recognize, and this may have been your story, okay, well, I have to really change who I surround myself with. Is that your journey?
Yes and no. So it was prevalent in my mind that I needed to change people that I'm around, right? And so if we're looking at a scale, I would say, so some of the worst, the ones that, I won't say the worst, some of the obvious ones, they were easy to get, they were easy to change.
Got
it's
it.
Easy to get rid of them. But there's also some that weren't. And some of those were the ones that was close to you who still want to kind of go hang out a little bit, or, you know, so you're not going to the gentleman's club, but you're going to a Hooters or a Twin Peaks or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
And
So it's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process. I'm sure there's some people out there who it happens overnight for them, and they're like, you know, they can go cold turkey and cut everything out. I wasn't able to do that. I mean, I had spent 30 plus years in these industries.
Well, so what would you say to people? Maybe they're at that point in their life and they feel that calling. They know that's the answer, but it is hard for them because, like you said, you build relationships and these are people you care about, and a lot of them are going to probably laugh and mock you or see you as betraying them. And so people, for some, it's just, I think, much easier of a transition than it is for others. Those that feel that they're, quote, in too deep or that it's just going to be too hard, what would you say to those folks?
You know, I would just say that, you know, stick with God. I mean, read your Bible and just know that it is a process. It will take time, and God will give you strength to overcome those things and those people. Because it happened to me. I mean, I've got people who 14, 15, 16 year friends who are no longer even in my life now, but it wasn't something that I did. It was something that God did. God made a move, and then they ended up not being in my life anymore. So he helped me along the way because I'm trying to live right and I'm trying to do right. And so I need help, and God will help. He will help remove closed doors and open doors for you. And then it's also good to, you know, have somebody who's going through it. I mean, I'm somebody who's here. You know, they can go to and check out my site and reach out, and I'll always do what I can. And I do some teachings and try to help people to understand just that it is a process.
Well, I'm so grateful for folks like you who are willing to share your story, because I think there's so many people out there who are in a way of life in which they feel that they're not worthy to have a relationship with Christ, and they think that there's, I think, a certain category of people that are worthy, and they don't fall within that category, and so they don't pursue it. And whenever folks like you are out there sharing your story, I think that is so extremely valuable and can and be that wake-up call for people like, oh, well, wait a minute. I don't have to have led a quote, perfect or near-perfect life in order for that. And so I know I appreciate that, and I think it makes you such a valuable messenger.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, yeah, and it's, you know, I honestly, man, I couldn't have done it without Christ. I know you know that, I could tell, but it's just one of those things where, you know, he, as you said at the beginning of the interview, you talked about being anchored, and that's what I feel like it was. He had me anchored so I couldn't get out there too far, and he didn't let me go to where I couldn't come back, right?
Yeah.
And so I would tell people that if you're listening to this and you're hearing this, then you're not too far.
Mm.
You can come back.
You mentioned a site that you have people can visit.
Yes. Yeah, I am jerrydale.com.
All right, Jerry Dale, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time this morning and sharing. He's our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, the book Music, Porn, and Jesus, A Journey to Redemption. For Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.